Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Discover the Copiah Advantage. Copiah County is a Mid-South gem with a spirit of opportunity, a business-friendly environment, and access to major transportation networks. Copiah County, let's do business. Visit CopiahWorks.com today and discover the Copiah Advantage.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, on this Sunday night. My name is Michael Borky. This is the Rebel Report. I appreciate you being here. Just real quick, I'm going to start. Cheesy's not the right word, frankly, but a little bit heartfelt. So I'm sure that you guys have seen some of the videos and images of the damage and destruction that the hurricane caused up through Georgia, South Carolina, and into North Carolina. I think, quite frankly, that it is not being covered adequately because the devastation is just that. It's devastating. You have small mountain towns that are inaccessible. You've got communities that have been completely wiped out. You've got millions of people without power. Asheville there for a while, and I don't know if it's still this way or not, but over the weekend it was inaccessible, only to helicopter. There are a lot of people that are, their lives have been flipped upside down. There are a lot of people that have sadly, tragically lost theirs. This hits a little bit home to me. My family and friends are okay. Now they're dealing with damage and stuff like that. I've got a friend that has two kids up in North Carolina that possibly has lost everything. It's a bad situation. So, and I don't think it's being covered enough. So if you're not on social media, you're probably not even seeing it. So if you're the praying type, please lift one up for the people there that are dealing with this. It is awful up there right now, and it's going to be a long time before a lot of those communities are able to look the same again. So again, sorry about that, but I felt the need to say that because I have, you know, I'm seeing it not, quote unquote firsthand, but I know people that are just right in the middle of this, and it's just awful. So anyway, again, this is the Rebel Report. Tonight we're talking Ole Miss football. Obviously, what's next after the Kentucky loss? And I've got some kind of final thoughts on the game, things that I've been thinking about today. We'll get to your comments as well on this edition of the show. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Follow me on social media if you have not already. Borkey is how you spell the last name. If you have not subscribed to the podcast already, please do. Just pull out your phone, your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review if you like what you hear. And don't forget to like the video and subscribe and leave a comment and all that good stuff here as well. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. You know, sometimes in life, injuries are unavoidable. If you're a small business owner, there's going to be times where you're going to need legal help. If that applies to you, or that may apply to you, I've got the person for you. His name is DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. He's located in Saltillo, Mississippi, but he can service you anywhere in the state of Mississippi. You may not need him today, but that day may come where, again, if you've been personally injured or you have a small business where you need some legal either advice or help with your small business or a contract dispute, here's the phone number. Save it because you never know the day that you may need it. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. 662-397-9799. So 2023, last season for Ole Miss, they had a good football team, an objectively very good football team. Won 11 games the first time in school history and all that good stuff. The two losses that they suffered a season ago were mostly a result of a talent gap. Now, I don't think they coached a particularly or played or executed a particularly great game in Tuscaloosa. And they did have some injuries in Athens that aided the lopsided nature of that score. But as I've said to you guys before, as I was watching that game and Kirk Herbstreit is talking about, well, Pete Golding needs to change something up schematically. And I was, I was like, Kirk, what are you talking about, man? You're watching the game. You're a smart football guy. They don't have the players to compete in this game. It's a players thing. And that's why they lost to Georgia, because they didn't have the players. Every other game they played last year, they won. This is not that at all. This game, yes, I understand that Jackson Dart didn't play particularly well, but more on that in a second. And I understand that Kentucky's defensive line did a lot of really good things against Ole Miss's offensive line. But yesterday was not a result of roster. Lane Kiffin has everything that he needs to win games like Kentucky at home as a three-score favorite at Ole Miss. And now, you know, he's a human being. The players and the coaches are humans, and also Kentucky has players and coaches and stuff as well. Sometimes you lose games in football, but I guess what I'm getting at is yesterday, should any conversation about the game and what that means should start the conversation by talking about Lane Kiffin and the coaching staff first before you get to anything else. Because that was not a they didn't have the athletes game yesterday. That was, especially offensively, in my opinion, a they weren't coached well enough game. And look, I know Kentucky got a lot of breaks. You had the fumble that popped right into the hands of their tight end for a touchdown. A lot of things had to go right for Kentucky in that game to win. And Ole Miss didn't play particularly well in spots, especially at the quarterback position. But I was that was a fascinating football game, because it was one of the very few times in Lane Kiffin's 4 years and five games as the head coach at Ole Miss where I think that he got outcoached. I thought Kentucky was, as we talked about yesterday, if you listen to the postgame, Kentucky was able to dictate the tempo, but I think that as a result of that, Ole Miss got all out of sorts. The offensive game plan, in my opinion, was really bad, especially when, you know, Dart missed a couple of deep throws early that a better throw maybe changes the outcome of the game, but I'm not pulling a Hugh Freeze here. The throws weren't made. After that, though, I think, and especially looking at the offensive line, now I don't think they played as poorly as some people said that they did. There was enough time for Dart to throw the football often, and they didn't do it. Most especially, they didn't use the middle of the field. Caden Priestcorn was targeted one time, and it was on a desperation heave at the end of the game. So the tight ends were effectively not targeted. Jordan Watkins was not targeted at all, and Juice Wells was targeted twice, one of which was a ball thrown behind him into coverage. When you saw that your quarterback was having an off day, at that point you need to help him as a coach and a play caller. And yes, I know they did some quick game stuff where it was literally just take the snap and like throw it to Trey Harrison, just kind of let him try to beat a defensive back with the ball. But nothing underneath, nothing over the middle. They did one slant on a 4th-and-7 to Trey Harrison and went for a touchdown, but otherwise it didn't really utilize that much. And over the years, you've seen a Kiffin offense be so creative at getting the ball to their playmakers. And yesterday it felt like they were so obsessed with getting the ball deep to Trey Harris or just getting the ball to Trey Harris that they completely and totally forgot what established playmakers they have at other spots on the field. And I'm sure Kentucky did some things to take that away from Ole Miss, but it was a very bland offensive strategy for Ole Miss yesterday. And that falls right at the feet of Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr. And that got them beat yesterday. Is I don't think they did a good enough job of setting up Jackson Dart for success, especially on a day that he's struggling, and utilizing their playmakers in more creative ways instead of trying to do long developing pass plays that ultimately didn't work. And because I think that there was enough time in the pass game to be more effective than they were, but they were not creative enough to do it. And also what Kentucky was able to do when it comes to style of play, I think kind of knocked Ole Miss all out of sorts, especially when you consider a couple of fourth down decisions that Lane Kiffin made You know, he went for it on 4th and 7. Now, that was more deeper into Kentucky territory, and that worked out for a touchdown. But a couple of 4th and shorts where they were around midfield, where Lane Kiffin, you would expect to go for it. Sometimes, if anything, he is too aggressive on 4th down, and people criticize him being too aggressive. But yesterday chose to go conservative instead of doing what they do best, which is stressing teams so much by making them beat you 4 times instead of just 3. And a couple of 4th and shorts in the second half, they decided to punt the ball away. And regardless of Greg McElroy's praise on the broadcast, I think that was anti Lane Kiffin, and that was anti Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss. And they kind of fell into Kentucky style. And as a result, they got beat yesterday. And you know, where do they go from here? What happens next? I think these next 2 games are going to be incredibly defining for Lane Kiffin himself. Not necessarily about Ole Miss football as a whole, but Lane Kiffin as a head coach. Because now there's no there's been a lot of talk over the years, and we've talked about it here, where you just can't win at Ole Miss. That's what people say. Some people say, you just can't win there. You just can't win there. They don't have this or whatever. Lane Kiffin's got everything he needs to win. He has 2 of the top 10 highest paid coordinators. I think, well, Golding's a top 5 coordinator, and Weiss is well over $1 million. So his salary is gigantic. So they're invested in head coach. They're invested with his pair of coordinators, each of them conservatively making top 10 money in the country. His staff of analysts is gigantic, and the roster is incredibly expensive. It is a very well-invested football program. There's no more, see, Ole Miss just doesn't have enough. He just can't do it at Ole Miss because they don't have enough. That doesn't apply here. That they have given him everything that he needs to succeed in 2024, and so now it is up to Lane Kiffin to either confirm narratives about him that he's, you know, a great offensive mind and he's a really, really good and fun coach, but can't take programs to that next level, or he can take whatever the heck yesterday was and bounce back from that and show people that, you know, he is ready to not only build a program, but take it to another level. These next 2 games are going to be defining for Lane Kiffin. Win them both, get into your bye week, getting ready to host a beatable Oklahoma team. You're right on track where most people thought you would be at that point in the season, myself included. I thought they were going to get to the bye week with 1 loss. So do they bounce back and beat South Carolina and LSU? If they do that, then they are right back on track. If they don't, there's going to be a lot of questions and more specifically, a lot of confirmation from people outside about what Lane Kiffin is and what his capabilities are as a head coach. But right now, you cannot question Ole Miss's investment into football. They've given him everything that he needs to succeed. These next few weeks are almost exclusively about Lane Kiffin and who he is as a coach and where he can take a program after suffering what is a significant setback in a lot of different ways. I still think that they are talented enough to do that. I think they're talented enough to beat South Carolina, and Las Vegas seems to think so. I think they're talented enough to beat LSU, but Ole Miss's secondary with LSU's quarterback and receivers is deeply concerning. But that's a game that they can win. If they do and they get to the bye, they're back on track. It's up to Lane Kiffin to keep that team together and, you know, earn his keep. We'll see if he can. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage and data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is. If it's tech, if it's in the office, and your Mississippi business needs it, check them out at absms.com and tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Podcast is also brought to you in part by by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop, so all you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. So, by the way, I have officially caught whatever my son caught at school that I was telling you guys about yesterday. It has officially hit. It hit me like 2 hours ago. I feel like garbage. And so this will probably be a bit of a shorter episode tonight, just because I am on the struggle bus, and the Saints sure as hell didn't help that. My gosh, did they not help that? Talk about choking a game away. They scored 24 points, which is not like a whole lot, but not a little. They scored 24 points. They did not give up a defensive touchdown, and they lost the game. They did not give up a touchdown on defense. They scored 24 points, and they lost the game. It's unfathomable, but here they are. So anyway, we'll get to your comments. Again, I'm sorry, a bit of a shorter one tonight. I caught what he has for sure. Now he's feeling better, but now I feel like crap. That's the cycle. Borky, you're not late. The coaching staff was late trying to make adjustments. Yeah. Well, the perspective on the season certainly has changed fast. This is likely the most important stretch this program will have so far under Kiffin. There's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt, in my opinion, that this is the most important stretch. In a lot of ways, I think yesterday was the worst loss in the Kiffin era. The season was already kind of dead when they went to Fayetteville. This was that they laid an absolute egg yesterday, and that's not something you've been able to say very often in Kiffin's four seasons and five games at Ole Miss. Usually you know exactly what you're getting from a Kiffin-coached Ole Miss team, not yesterday. You don't think it's a program issue. This is a coaching and staff issue. It's not that Ole Miss can't do it. You read my mind. The loss to Kentucky at home, not Alabama, absolutely. Need to use the tight ends more. That is the most baffling part of yesterday, is just – and it felt like, I know this isn't true, but it felt like they had about a dozen plays that they were running yesterday, just overly simple. Nothing on the edges, none of those little pop passes that they like to do, or those quick pitches or jet sweeps or anything, you know, quick hitters to juice or screens or tight ends or over the middle. None of that yesterday. Offense looks completely broken. After the opening script, it went off the rails. As a student of the University of Kentucky that grew up an Ole Miss fan, you're feeling very mixed emotions right now. Well, where do your allegiances lie, my friend? Where are they? No, I'm kidding. Our hearts for the people of the East Coast dealing with essentially their version of Katrina. No one deserves things like this. The video I saw of Lake Lure about an hour ago was shocking. And Lake Lure is a small place. I think it's where they film the movie Dirty Dancing at a hotel right there. But it's shocking. Because weather events like that don't happen in that region of the country. They're not prepared for stuff like that, because it doesn't happen there. I mean, you've had entire interstates wiped out, full roads completely gone. A lot of people missing and worse, sadly. It's awful. This can go one of two ways: off the rails, or they turn thing around. It's a week-by-week season now. Little to no margin for error if you want to even think about postseason hopes. Yeah, we are not going to talk about the playoff unless they win the next two games. But until then, they haven't earned the opportunity for us to talk about playoffs. As an Ole Miss fan, this loss was embarrassing. You know, it's early, but you question if money is being spent correctly. See, for whatever it's worth, my opinion is right now that it's not a – I don't think the roster's the issue. I don't think that they lost because of lack of talent yesterday. I don't. I simply don't. I think that that's fine. In terms of Kentucky, the Kentucky game at home, way too many people you saw wanting to get rid of Kiffin. I wouldn't. You know, it's emotions after a loss. Kiffin's done really good things for Ole Miss. One loss doesn't change that. Lane Kiffin doesn't lose games like this very much at all. He got absolutely outcoached by Stoops. He nutted up and made the bold move that paid off. Better team won the game and deserved to win. need to relax. The sky is not falling. No, but the margin for error is basically none at this point. Goals for the season are still in front of them. The margin for error is now non-existent, though. I have to make adjustments and don't let this loss beat them twice this weekend. Yeah, I wonder, you know, what the mental makeup of the locker room is right now. This will be an important week for Lane, but also the veteran leadership in the locker room to get them back up for what's going to be a really difficult game on Saturday. How much of a program crossroads would I say Ole Miss is at after yesterday? I am behind on messages, so I think I kind of talked about that there. But yeah, it's not a program crossroads. I think it's a Kiffin crossroads. Is he ready for this kind of question? Play calling goes on Weiss and Kiffin. It was quite poor and uncreative. Felt like a lot of pressing. And like I said yesterday, I'll say it again because for some reason, I say this too much, but it doesn't matter because it's true. For some reason, when offense is great at Ole Miss, Kiffin gets all the credit. But when offense is poor at Ole Miss, Charlie Weiss Jr. gets all the blame. And Lane Kiffin's got a play sheet and he's got a headset. So if he's not calling plays, he's endorsing every single one because he has the veto power as the head coach who happens to also be offensive-minded. When Hugh Freeze threw his OC under the bus all season last season, what did I say? You're the offensive coach. This is your responsibility. So if Montgomery's doing a bad job, you're doing a bad job. And Kiffin has not said anything like that about Charlie Weiss Jr. at all. He has not thrown his OC under the bus the way Hugh did. But when fans do, well, Weiss sucks. Kiffin's got a play sheet. He's got a headset. He's endorsing the calls. It is just as much at his feet, just as much there too. If you're going to give him credit for when it's successful, you have to blame him for when it's poor. There's a real scenario where this goes off the rails quickly, lose next week, and it's over. Absolutely. Hell, lose in Baton Rouge, and I think it's over. Either one. If you win Saturday but lose in Baton Rouge, it will go off the rails. It appears that they are overly concerned about padding Dart's and Trey Harris's stats at the expense of what is best for the team. You know, I had that thought at the beginning of the game yesterday where that, like, deep down they thought that there was no way that they could lose the game, therefore, you know, light it up first. I had that thought. Don't know if they can make the playoff at 10-2 now, but playoffs shouldn't be in the discussion. I think they still can, but we'll see. South Carolina knows what's up. There's blood in the water. Absolutely. Nice teddy bear in your office. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody likes to tackle Teddy because he's big. Hope he comforts me after losses. There is nothing that can comfort me after what the Saints did. Dart versus Corral on the long ball. Your opinion, Corral. Can't take the fake injuries anymore. Saw Kentucky do some too, but the Matt Jones thing was so embarrassing. Ole Miss is the poster child for this Bush League stuff. Yesterday was especially bad. It's awful. I understand that there's nothing that refs can do about it. And Kiffin warned people that this was going to happen. And so he's just doing what he told people would happen. I understand that it's Bush League, though. It's garbage. It is absolute garbage. It's hard to watch. It almost gets ridiculed for it nationally, and they deserve it. They absolutely deserve it because forgive my language. It's chicken shit is what it is. That's what it is. And it needs to stop. It won't, but it needs to. And then the Bentley thing is kind of mind-blowing to me. I don't understand it at this point because here's the thing. There is no problem whatsoever with Henry Parrish starting. No problem. He wasn't bad yesterday. I mean, he ran for 62 yards on 13 carries. That's 4.8 per carry on this Kentucky defensive front. That's fine. Like, that's a good day. Against that front, that's a good day. But in the first half, running backs had 4 carries for Ole Miss. He only had 13, and Jones had 3. So 16 carries only for Ole Miss's running backs anyway. But I don't like calling out players that do that have done everything right. So I hate doing this. But there is absolutely no way, there is no way that Ole Miss's second best option at running back is who they're using as their second option at running back. We have seen Ulysses Bentley in the SEC. We've seen him do it already. You've seen Rashad Amos do it at least at this level, and maybe he was a misevaluation, but either answer on this is wrong. When Henry Parrish cannot play, and again, I know there was only three carries given to his backup, and I'm not even using his name because I don't want to call out a player that has worked hard to get to this point against a lot of odds, but physically is not an SEC running back. So those three carries were a waste anyway. But it's when Parrish gets hurt and is playing hurt, I refuse to believe that Ulysses Bentley is incapable of giving more than a hurt Parrish or the second option that they're using at running back. And I've seen what people say, like, well, he's been late to meetings or whatever. Okay, the punishment over. Get over that. But if he's being punished, then why is he returning kicks for you? Oh, well, he gained too much weight. He's not as explosive. If he's not explosive, why is he doing the thing that requires the most explosion, returning kicks? So whatever's going on in the running back room, there is no good answer at this point. Completely not utilizing Ulysses Bentley, regardless of the answer, or Amos, regardless of the answer, is a bad one. They either grossly misevaluated Amos or the answers are not adequate anymore. Because if that is your second best option at running back, you have failed in evaluations or you have completely screwed up a guy that has shown you that he can be extremely explosive and effective in the SEC. The answer is not adequate anymore. It makes absolutely no sense because that is not the second best option. It cannot be. And if it is, they have failed in multiple ways. Maybe Kentucky's D-line made him reconsider the fourth down tries. I understand that, but man, I mean, he did it in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. He did it against Penn State's defensive line last year. Did it against Texas A&M with all their talent up front. This is not the first really good team that they've played. It's just, it's very anti what has gotten him to that point. I think Kentucky kind of scared them, or not, maybe not scared them, but knocked them, like discombobulated them. Not sure why the offense is only targeting Harris. Parrish needs help in the backfield. If it's offense, that's the concern. I feel better about the defense given our staff. That is true. If anybody can get them out of this offensive funk, it's Lane Kiffin. Worst loss in the Kiffin era, probably the worst since 2015 Arkansas. You don't think they're going to turn around and win 10 games? You've had to predict right now. It's at 8-4, maybe 9-3. It's what they look like right now. Just hope they don't turn into Texas A&M with all the five stars. Talked about worst case in the preseason some, and it's certainly on the table. It is on the table. You knew it was going to happen to the Saints when they scored with a minute left, which is like 3 minutes in the NFL. Yeah, but pass interference is the only reason why the Falcons were able to, I mean, a 40-yard penalty there was the only, that was the only reason why they made it up there. The creativity on offense was kind of there in the non-conference games, but it didn't matter. So many riches on offense, nothing, or the lack of creativity on offense. Exactly. Who all didn't play that was expected to play? It seemed like they were missing some key playmakers, but maybe you just overlooked some guys because of performance. None of the skill guys were out. Fully intact receiver group, fully intact tight end and running back room. Williams was out on the offensive line. That was a late scratch, if you will. And that was That one hurt a little bit, it seems, but no, all the offensive weapons were available. Thought the push off on the 4th and 7 was okay, being a no call. Would understand if they did, though. Refereeing was questionable. I mean, I think that that's a good no call. Here's the problem with Ole Miss's secondary now. They have a reputation. That's the problem, is now they have a reputation. And should that matter? Probably not. But now every opposing coach is going to remind the officials before a game of how many penalties the Ole Miss secondary commits, how grabby that they are. That guys are going to be looking for it now. Thoughts on the Bama, Georgia, A&M, Arkansas, and Oklahoma, Auburn game? I'll be quick because I I'm feeling like crap, so I need to go. Alabama, Georgia was electric, although I can't help but wonder if Georgia's comeback was more of a product of Alabama letting them back. Is that right to say? I think Alabama's a lot better than Georgia. And Georgia came back as a result of Alabama taking their foot off the gas and less about what Georgia was able to do. It's just my opinion. Milroe was incredible, and DeBoer has unlocked him. What an environment, too. It was just a great game. I was told that the 12-team playoff would ruin games like that. A&M Arkansas went kind of how I thought it would. I'm not impressed. I think Texas A&M has quarterback issues. Arkansas is salty, and they're lacking personnel in a lot of places. And Oklahoma Auburn was a very funny outcome, And look, man, I mean, Auburn is they're 2-3. Now they're going to Georgia, and then they're at Georgia, at Missouri, at Kentucky. They're about to fall to 2-6. Thought it was pretty damning in the postgame when Dart said they didn't make adjustments when they should have. He also didn't play particularly well either. A very dumb decision on the free play on the final possession, where instead of just throwing a ball up to the end zone, he takes a hit and fumbles, and now the fumble was inconsequential. But little things like that for him all day. Took a really bad sack on that possession too. He had a bad day. He had a really bad day, but yes. You don't think Kentucky's bad? Probably will go 8-4 now, but they have no business losing that game. They're a lot worse than we thought. As of now, Tennessee has replaced Ole Miss. I agree. What's my opinion of Kiffin's lack of concern with the time of possession? Because they score fast by nature. Like that is what they're trying to do. So if they have less time of possession, it doesn't necessarily mean they've done bad things. The issue was how wide the discrepancy was between them and Kentucky. And yeah, that to me is not losing the time of possession battle. It's how great they lost the time of possession battle by, and penalties keeping Kentucky's drives alive. And I mean, the pass interferences were pass interference. They were. Ole Miss grabs too much. They do. And so that kept Kentucky moving the football. And so maybe that's part of it too. It's like, you know, it looked worse because penalties are what extended it, not necessarily, I don't know. Ole Miss will never make it to the playoffs. I disagree with completely. Hugh Freeze would have taken them to the playoffs had the 12-team playoff been available then. Kiffin would have gone at least once, possibly twice. So I disagree completely. Defensive front is as advertised. Yes, it is. They are elite. And almost had the ball up twice. had the ball twice up 17-13 with a chance to put it away. And those were the fourth down decisions, right? Both of those possessions? Maybe I'm misremembering. Someone said that Bentley's issue, maybe that he struggles in pass blocking. If that's the case, that to me is not good enough anymore. That's not adequate. That's not acceptable. He played last year. He played a lot last year. So doesn't pass block well enough. That's not acceptable. Never used tight ends or the middle of the field. They did not. The loss is worse than 2015 Arkansas. You're sure Hey Dad will be joyful on the show tomorrow? Yeah, he'll probably probably laugh and do all his stuff to try to get a rise out of Richard, and because he won't get me because I just don't act like that. But he'll try to bait. It hasn't helped that Richard's kind of taken a little bit of shots at him too. I have not. I avoid that. Or I try to anyway. I don't think I've taken. I don't take shots at A-Dad. I like A-Dad. How much do I think? And Richard does too, by the way. That's not what I meant. But anyway. How much do I think almost not having a run game is part of the reason for the struggles? It's like Kentucky knew they could focus more on pass. But here's I don't think they tried it. But also, maybe that's part of it. But they still didn't. They weren't diverse in the pass game anyway, and they didn't try enough to alleviate the issues in the running game either. Again, nothing on the edges. They didn't move the pocket at all. They didn't do any kind of jet motion. They did none of that stuff. So, no, they were too vanilla. Do I think the Florida job is distracting them like Auburn a few years ago? The Florida job is not open yet. It's September. I do not at all. Yesterday had nothing to do with Florida. Florida's not even open yet. And again, it's September. You don't know how Ole Miss stops the passing game. They have to get pressure. That's the only way. Well, the hotel rooms you booked for the playoff game might have to be used next year. Kiffin versus Stoops for my money, like to coach my program, Kiffin. Stoops is really good, though. He's really good. I just think his ceiling is lower. Hope Caden Davis got some support in the locker room. Hey, he got it from Dart in the post-game press conference, so. Any chance they need to move the game out of Columbia? There's a lot of people without power in that state. What I'm curious about is, I expect them to play the game. But yeah, there's a chance that maybe the atmosphere is not. Maybe I'm dead wrong. It'll be full, and I'm an idiot. But there are a lot of people in upstate South Carolina that don't have power, and worse, there's a lot of damage and things. And so, if they can't restore that, I can't imagine people picking up and spending a day in Columbia for a football game. So I don't know if that'll be impactful or not, but. A lot of emergency personnel needs to be used elsewhere, but they've got 6 days to kind of get that right, so we'll see. Almost currently an 8.5-point favorite at South Carolina, ranked number 12 in the AP poll. There are still believers out there of the team. It's possible to turn that around. We'll have to see. The time of possession at the half. I don't think what I have pulled up. Yeah, what I can't get that number. I wish I would remember, but. Yeah, Kentucky, they doubled up Ole Miss in time of possession. But I don't know the halftime answer. Think Bentley has fumble issues, but That's not an adequate answer for why a walk-on's playing over him. That's not an adequate answer either. If Ole Miss has some road graders, what about an occasional running play call? They may not have that. But running the football is not just about lining up and running right at a defensive tackle. And there's more ways that they can do that. Can't beat Kentucky at home. South Carolina may get to pick their number if this team can't figure their stuff out. You got 6 days to do it. Yep. Oh, yeah, I appreciate you guys being here. It's been an interesting weekend. My mind's been home. My family's dealing with it, but they're not dealing with it like the mountain towns are. It's really bad up there. But on top of that, you doubt the sip will be painted in the end zones again? I didn't hate it. I understand why people hate it. But anyway, I'm going to go lay down, guys. I love you. I appreciate you. Please subscribe to the podcast, all that good stuff. I will hopefully see you and feel better on Tuesday. But in the meantime, y'all be good, and I'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.